You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Help support your local businesses. Whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops, local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with the contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. I think the Jaguars' most important game of the season is the next one. And I know that's a cliche, but this one might be a little bit true. This is Tony Wiggins with the Jacksonville Jaguars Report here on Locked On Jaguars. The Cats versus the Cats, that's right, Sunday in Cincinnati. And what I mean when I say that this game might be a little bit more important than the last one, of course, because it's the next one, I think this game will have more to do with how this season is perceived than any game this season. And it's because it's really, really the game that they're supposed to win. All right? It's the game that, regardless of what happened in the first 3 weeks, this is the one where everyone kind of circled it and penciled in as the game that the Jaguars were going to win. Even if you thought they were going to be 0-3 at this point, the one that you thought, okay, this is where they could get one. This is when everyone thought the Jags were going to tank. This is the one where everyone thought that they could get one right here. And they got to go get it. And you can hear all of these Jaguars reports and daily Jaguars content right here on Locked On Jaguars. And you can subscribe on Google Podcasts. But, you know, the Bengals are super, super young. Bad offensive line, totally rebuilding, had the number one pick, signed Joe Burrow. Cool Joe. You know, Joe's taking a beating right now. But he's standing tall, and he's showing you why he was the number one overall pick. And he wasn't just a guy who benefited from playing for, you know, LSU with all of that talent around him and playing for Joe Brady. You know, he was his own guy, man, because he's the total truth when you watch him play. So it's a chance for Gardner Minshew to go out and measure himself against a guy who was the number one pick the year after he got drafted. For people, you know, that always want to try to write Gardner Minshew off as a quarterback who's just a guy who's filling in until they get another guy. Okay? Here's your measuring stick. And a lot of the intangibles that Joe Burrow has, Gardner Minshew, you know, those are the same adjectives that people have used to describe Gardner Minshew. That he's cool and calm under pressure, that the situation isn't big for him, that he extends plays and uses his legs, and that he's just a winner, okay? So it'll be on full display in Cincinnati. But the reason why I think this game is bigger is because there, you know, take the quarterback situation out of it, there isn't one place outside of defensive tackle, and I don't even know if Geno Atkins is healthy, they're in one place on Cincinnati's team where they're supposed to be better than Jacksonville. You probably thought running back coming into the year, but James Robinson, they said, no, you know, I'm not a disadvantage to this football team. So when you look at it, the Jaguars should be able to hold their own. But then again, you look at it, the other day, Thursday, you probably could have said that same thing, that the Jaguars are better at Miami at every position, especially with Byron Jones being out at corner. The Jags were better at pass rush. The Jags were better at linebacker. The Jags were better at defensive line. The Jags were better at offensive line. The Jags were probably just as good or better at tight end. They were just as good at wide receiver or better at wide receiver, and they were better at running back. They were in a different spot at quarterback with a veteran versus a younger guy. But nobody would take Ryan Fitzpatrick over Gardner Minshew. Nobody around here anyway. So why didn't they win and why were they beaten so soundly? They got schemed up and got out-coached and got out-played. That's why. So they got a chance to go to 2-2 or 1-3. And they got a chance to either beat the lowly Bengals, who – they haven't won a game, but the last 2 weeks they played well against both Philly and Cleveland. They got a tie yesterday, and they lost a very close game to Cleveland, who's 2-1. I don't think Cleveland's that great, but they've shown some fight in Cincinnati. So it's young cats versus young cats, and we'll have to see what happens come this Sunday. You can follow this podcast every day here on Locked On Jaguars and subscribe on Google Podcasts. We will take a look at the state of the team right now after 3 weeks. Take a look around and take a look at the division a little bit. My man James Coleman, we did some TV. He used a phrase that I'm going to steal, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit. He called the Jags potentially lovable losers. And I think we could slip up and actually have some lovable losers, guys that you like even though they lose, but you still like them because you get along with them and you like their effort and you like everything about them. And does it make you feel better about the team? And then we're going to take a look at the Bengals, take a look at the cats, young cats versus older cats. And then we're going to talk about the fact that this game is actually so pivotal, and it's a pivotal game and nobody really imagined that it would be. I think for the most part, people thought that this would be a game that the Jaguars would win, and it was just one on your schedule that you could circle as a W. And it doesn't seem like it's going to turn out that way. It doesn't seem like it's going to turn out that way at all. So, yeah, man, we'll take a look at all of that. So just buckle up, buckle your seatbelts up, and, you know, we'll get into it here on Locked On Jaguars about, you know, what's going to take for the Jaguars to keep the momentum going for the rest of their season and how important this game is. We'll talk about that in the first segment. Y'all, it doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete or a stay-at-home parent or if you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when your life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient, easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Give it a try. All right, man. So talking about the Bengals and the Jaguars coming up this Sunday, as we begin this Monday, this NFL week, the Jaguars had a few extra days to let everything, you know, decompress a little bit from a disappointing game on Thursday night. Give you guys a chance to watch some other football yesterday and watch how some other teams move a little bit, and to compare and contrast what you saw from your team Thursday night. Tennessee just keeps finding a way to win close games. I thought Minnesota was going to get them yesterday and kind of pull them back close to the pack, but they're at 3-0 now. Houston, even though nobody's going to feel sorry for anybody in the division, Houston's had probably the three toughest games to start the season of anybody in the league. And they haven't passed that test, man, and haven't looked good doing it. So Bill O'Brien's probably on the hot seat, but they're 0-3. They're 0-3. So they're behind the Jaguars. And Indy has seemed to regroup, and they're playing well. They're 2-1. So the Jags have to keep stride, man. They got to keep striding. You can't go up there and lay an egg in Cincinnati, and you can't go lose to the Bengals of all teams. But watched a little bit of the Bengals yesterday. They're a young, scrappy team that's trying to fight their way through stuff. And between the Bengals and the Dolphins, these are the teams that I'm thinking that for where Jacksonville is right now, they have to separate themselves from. And so far, they haven't passed that test with Miami. They, you know, it's one thing to beat to beat the Colts, and that's a good thing. And then to play tough against Tennessee. But, you know, there's a bunch of these teams that's sort of in that second-year quarterback, rebuilding, trying to establish identity stage. Miami was one of them. Cincinnati's another one. Jacksonville is in that bunch. You want to sort of separate and pull away from those guys. Well, they failed the first test to do that last week against Miami, or last Thursday night against Miami, and they failed it miserably. They you know, 31-13 is a score. And the game wasn't even that close to me. Okay? So they really have to make a good showing and make sure that they win this game. First of all, win the game. And second of all, to me, try to win it convincingly. Cincinnati gave up 8 sacks last week. One of the things the Jaguars have not done this year is pressure the quarterback. If you can't get pressure on the quarterback this week, you're going to have problems. And one of the things that I've been pointing out is the Jaguars have not only not been able to pressure quarterbacks, but they've had trouble with quarterbacks who have legs, who have that getaway car that can extend plays. And trust me, the guy that they're going to face this week has a getaway car, and he will run in a second on you. So you really have to watch that. They also, Burrow will also throw the ball to Joe Mixon out of the backfield. And the Jaguars have seemingly struggled with tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. It seems like they've struggled with that for an eternity now. And with a young secondary, obviously Cincinnati has some guys that have played a lot in Boyd and Green. I don't know if Green's going to play, and he doesn't look like the same guy, but they have some guys, and even with John Ross with his speed, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Guys can't bust assignments. I want the Jaguars to win the toss, and I want them to take the damn ball first of all. That's what I want to see them do. And then, you know, the thing is with Jacksonville, I want all three units to play well at the same time. You know, we always talk about, you know, it's like the groundhogs, you know, it's like you plug up a hole and boop, it pops up somewhere else. And that's what happens with Jacksonville. You know, special teams does well, defense does well, offense stinks. Offense does well, we plug this hole. But it's almost as if like they can't, they have three different things they have to focus on, but they only have two brains at one time. And they can't get everything right. It's like they can't get right. It's like, you know, if we spend all week working on this, then we can't think about that too. And that stuff has to go, because that means that there's something wrong with your program. Because there are other teams that get it right, where they're tight all the way across the board. So, you know, if you got to go above and, you know, and overboard to emphasize one area, and you have to sacrifice another one, then that's not good. You have to ask yourself what type of players you have, and then you have to ask yourself what type of teaching are you doing? You know, where you can't get everything right at one time, and it seems like forever that's what's been going on. So it's a golden opportunity, and that's why I say this is a very, very important game. This is an extremely important game for Jacksonville. I think it's important because it's the next one, but I also believe it's important because, you know, it does provide them the opportunity to, one, it's mouthwash. You know, you get to get that taste out of your mouth from last week. And then, two, you do get a chance to – you won't be able to totally separate yourself from that bunch, because the Miami loss did happen. And Cincinnati is a game that you sort of expect to win. Winning it won't separate you from the bunch. Losing it puts you at the bottom of that bunch, though. You feel where I'm coming from? Winning it doesn't separate you from the bunch, because there's an expectation that you're supposed to beat Cincinnati. But losing the game, compounding that with the loss against Miami, well, it makes you the undissolved sugar at the bottom of the Kool-Aid pitcher. You know what I'm saying? It makes you're not even a part of the mix. You know? That's what that makes. It you know, you're just residue. So you have more to lose by losing than you have to gain by winning. But that's when good football teams even step up more, when you have more to lose by losing than to gain by winning. You can't be the team that loses to Miami and Cincinnati back to back. You can't be the team that Joe Burrow gets his first win. You just can't be that team, man. You cannot do it. You'll go to 1-3. You lose to Cincinnati, you're headed to 3-13. You lose to Cincinnati, you'll be lucky to make 3-13. You beat Cincinnati, there's still some hope. You lose to Cincinnati, I think people are starting to get fired. And don't let them light you up. And please don't let them score 21 points in the first half. If they do, Ty Wash might not. Well, I don't know if he'll deserve to get back on the plane anyway. And I'm not even at the liberty to say whether or not they're going to fire him, because it seems like nobody gets fired around here. But the thing is that this can't be that game. Not at week four. Lose to Cincinnati, and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to start seeing mock drafts pop up all over Jaguars Twitter. At least let us get to week 8 or 9. And it'll just be a big fall from grace, because after week 1 and even after week 2, folks were thinking, okay, we got some excitement here. People were thinking like they were going to buy plane tickets, man. Okay, at least we got some fun going on, man. We ain't got to. And then all of a sudden you come out, that thing that happened Thursday, and if that happens again, now it's like, okay, this is all, that was fool's gold. That didn't really happen. It didn't really happen. I'll tell you who I believe needs to step up. If things are going to improve, I'll tell you who I think needs to step up. And it's probably not who you think I'm talking about. I'll do all of that in just a second in our third and final segment here on Monday edition of Locked On Jaguars. I have to tell you about stepping up. You know, you want to step up, get your palate right, and start getting you some Built Bars, man, because Built Bar is the flat-out truth. It is the best-tasting protein bar in the world, bar none. And I'm getting a lot of feedback from people telling me about that peanut butter flavor. Peanut butter, you can't go wrong. You know, they don't make bacon flavor. So if you can't get bacon, you might as well get peanut butter, right? So I've been on that mint brownie myself. But all of my guys have been telling me about the peanut butter, because it's packed with protein. It doesn't have a bunch of calories. And, you know, guys have been getting it in pre-workout and post-workout. And you can go to BuiltBar.com and you can get yours, too, by putting in the Locked On promo code. You're going to save $10 off of your first order of those Built Bars. And you're going to be absolutely shocked when that thing hits your taste buds, man. And you're going to call me. I know you're going to call me. You better call me when you get them in the mail, because I want you to send me over a couple of them, especially if you're right here in Jacksonville. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and get your first order and get $10 off. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the world, bar none, and no pun intended, bar none, and I stand on that. Try that peanut butter, man, and try that mint brownie. They got 18 great flavors, some with nuts, some without, packed with protein. It is the best thing going. Built Bar. Okay, so who needs to step up for the Jaguars to make sure that they come out victorious and that they put forth a better effort this week in Cincinnati? Doug Marrone just needs to step up. We talk a lot about Ty Wash. Ty Wash, ultimately, the responsibility for Ty Wash is Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone needs to do something about Ty Wash. And, like, I don't care what it is. Motivate him, do something. But Ty Wash is Doug Marrone's responsibility, okay? This goes back to years ago. This is before Doug was even the head coach. Imagine having Jim Schwartz come in here and interview and Ty Wash sitting in on the interview, and then hiring Ty Wash. This is what happened. If for you guys that don't remember, Ty Wash was the defensive line coach. This is after Gus Bradley had been fired. Ty Wash was, I think at this point, he had been promoted to the defensive coordinator. But they fired the previous administration, kept him on, and they were interviewing candidates. Ty Wash sat in on the interview process. And then he himself interviewed for the job and he was retained. Imagine the guys that came through here as Todd Wash sat there during the interview process. It's the weirdest thing I ever seen. I've never seen anything like that, man. It's just crazy that you would allow the guy who's going for the job to sit in on the interview process and listen to the ideas and listen to the process of the other candidates and then give him the job. I promise you that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. I never seen nothing like it. Never heard of it. And it's been weird ever since, because even though he's had some defenses that have been, and I'm not going to knock that. They did have a couple. They had the second best defense in the league 1 year, top five defense the next year. You know, kudos to him for that. Top shelf personnel, of course. But even then, man, it's just like, after that, it's like people get a book on you and there's no adjustments. And even those guys started complaining about the things that they were asked to do. So, you know, at some point, the transparency and that's on us, that's on me. It's almost like a player, every time he makes a mistake, he points at his chest. Or in basketball, when he makes a mistake, he kind of tells the coach, yeah, that's on me. He raises his hand. Okay, yeah, you can do that once or twice, dude, but after a while, stop making it be on you. Stop it. There's only 16 football games. We don't need six of them. You coming up here saying it was a bad game plan or we didn't put our guys in a position to win. We don't need to hear that, you know, 40% of the times. Because that 40%, okay, if 40% of the times is your fault, then you're not leaving a room, enough room and enough error space for anybody else to make any mistakes. You feel me? It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, there's some things that, you know, just Todd Wash has to do better. If you can't do it this week, who can you do it against? If you can't do it this week, who can you do it against? I mean, Phillip Rivers, Hall of Famer, sure. Borderline, but I guess, you know, whatever. Fitzmagic, okay. Tannehill, okay. You got Burrow this week, okay. What if this team was playing Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes and Josh Allen? I'm mentioning him now. What if those were the people that were on their schedule every single week? Kyler Murray and what Lamar is coming on this. It's just like, you know, we're sitting here and we're not even optimistic about what we're seeing now. And it's really outside of Phillip Rivers, and even though Tannehill's playing okay, the Jaguars have not had to play. They ain't even played Deshaun Watson yet. You know, they haven't played Brady and Matt Ryan and Cam Newton now, the rejuvenated Cam Newton. It's, you know, come on, man. They have that young defense hasn't even really truly been tested yet by a prolific offense. And that's what concerns me. That's what concerns me. The Titans are an okay defense. They haven't even played a really good defense yet, and we're giving the offense a lot of credit. They haven't played a great, great defense. The Colts are okay, and the Titans are okay. I'm talking about a juggernaut defense, like if they had to play the Steelers or the Ravens. No. Then we'll see what the offense is really about. They got to tighten up, man, and put these kids in better positions. They got to put them in better situations. You can put yourself in better situations. Make sure you check out the Locked On podcast, the Locked On Jaguars podcast every day. Follow along on all of your favorite platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Apple. You can subscribe on Google Podcasts. Check us out here every day. Also, on Wednesday, me and James Rapine of Locked On Bengals. It's funny. We're going to be on NFL, the NFL podcast, the Locked On NFL show Wednesday that we do every week. And then James Rapine and I will turn around because of game week this week. We're going to give you a crossover show on Thursday. So you're going to get sick of me and James Rapine this week. It's a lot of catfighting going on between the Bengals and the Jaguars. So check that out. I'll be here all week, man. You know, you continue to take care of each other, but, you know, hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. Watch out and listen to everything that they say this week and see if they can see if the Jaguars. This is a big week for them. This is a big. Do not this game at some point was one of those games that everybody was like, ah, they'll get it. Okay, well, they better win this week. If they don't, it changes the entire outlook for this entire season for these Jacksonville Jaguars and for you, the fan, who I always – everything that I – when I think of this team, I always think of how it affects you, the fan, the people that really make this team go and the people that drive this market and the people that drive this franchise. I think about you, man. I want the best for you. I'm telling you. Might not sound like it sometimes, but I really, really do. Continue to take care of each other, and I will see you same time, same place tomorrow. Take care.